Now, as these two are walking out, stuff happens that kind of reminds me oftentimes how old I'm getting. Those two that just walked out there represent the class of 2038. Think about that. Yeah, amen. That's all right with me. Romans chapter 1, 2038. Too old. Romans chapter 1, the title of the message this morning is Don't Be a Reprobate. Romans is a pretty powerful book. Paul writes to the church at Rome, never having been there himself. People who he had won to the Lord and disciples had gone there and evangelized that city and got this church established. And he lays out a very strong, logical, well-reasoned argument regarding the working of God in our salvation and all the things related to that and growing from that. And we begin here in verse 16 of Romans chapter 1. He says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Nobody's excluded. Anybody can be saved. Anybody who will believe. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that when that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. Even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their terror, which was meet. And even so, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, deceit, debate, deceit, the malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now, a lot of times, when we look at Romans chapter 1, of all the things that are mentioned there, one often gets most of the attention, homosexuality. Certainly that's a wicked thing, but it's not the only wicked thing mentioned in this passage of Scripture. And we think about a reprobate, and we think of it in regard to that particular sin. And as we're going to look at this morning, reprobates maybe not exactly as we have always thought about it. So we spend some time on that this morning. But Paul starts out and he talks about, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. That gospel is open to all. Anyone can trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Anyone even guilty of any of the things that are listed later in this chapter. As long as you're drawing breath, there's an opportunity to be partaker of the power of salvation through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Anyone can be a partaker of that. We've got a person that's on our prayer list who was saved out of the sin of homosexuality. Many have been. Anybody can be saved. It's the power of God. Just believing in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. It's so simple that even a child can receive it. I can't save you. This church can't save you. It's the power of God that saves you and believing in that. All have that opportunity to receive that gift of salvation, to be a partaker of the grace of God. To have eternal life. Think about that. If you're saved, though your body may be placed into a grave, your soul is going to immediately go to be with the Lord and forever be with the Lord. You've got eternal life. It never ends. It can't be taken away from you. You can't lose it. Because you did nothing to get it in the first place. It's the power of God. 1 Peter says we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Our salvation is dependent upon Him, not upon us. We've got, not only do we have salvation, but we've got access to the truth of God. The things that God wants us to know, to understand, to help us to live our lives so we be not reprobate. We got God's power in our lives. We got the promise of God's daily presence with us. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's the promise of God. Never to leave us. Romans chapter 8, it ends with, what shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? And then he lists all kinds of things. He says, neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, and many other things shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing can separate us from that. That's the power of salvation available to us by receiving that gift that God offers to us. The sad thing is, most don't receive it. Jesus said it in Matthew. He says, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. The vast majority of the world's population rejects God and His Word. They refuse, and he talks about that. He says, they refuse to glorify Him. They refuse to be thankful to Him. This thing which is revealed, look at verse 17. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. for God hath showed it unto them. And later on he says, they're without excuse. Some folks say, well, what about the heathen that never heard? God's revealed it. I can't remember the verse now. It's in Psalms. It says, he hath openly showed his salvation in the sight of the heathen. Well, what about the people in the deepest Africa that never had a missionary? God's revealed himself through his creation. It's all there. If they will but respond, they can be saved. We won't turn over there, but in Acts chapter 10, you read about a man named Cornelius. He was a just man. He was a righteous man. He fasted. He prayed. He gave alms. You know what was missing? He wasn't saved. You know what happened? God put his hand on Peter, who was miles away, and said, you got to go to this Gentile. At the same time, God appeared to that man called Cornelius, and he says, send men to Joppa for a name named Peter, and he will show thee what thou must do. And they did. Peter came. He got saved, and his family got saved. He responded favorably, and God saw that the messenger got to him to tell him about Jesus Christ. God's salvation's openly known. And if a person's open to it, it's God's responsibility, and he won't shirk his responsibility, to get someone to them with a message so they can be saved. It's been shown. It's been clearly revealed. But he goes on, he talks about all these things that these people were rejected. They won't refuse to glorify him. They refuse to thank him. Creating a God in their own image. Talked about the birds and the four-footed beasts and creeping things and so forth. Because man doesn't want to keep God in their knowledge. Man rejects that. Man refuses that. And they change God's truth into a lie. Oh, that bunch of cells growing in the womb, that's not a human. But the same people would say that, say a guy dressed in a dress is in a woman. Really? Because they won't retain God in their knowledge. They refuse the truth and change it to a lie and give themselves over to all kinds of lust and wickedness and evil, committed to doing their own thing. I want, not what God wants, choosing their own way. You know, that describes our nation, folks. That's the nation that we live in. Again, the vast majority of the people, this is describing them, having rejected God. And sadly to say, too many Christians fall into that same category. Because they want what appeals to them. They're not looking for a church that's going to feed them the Word of God. They're looking for a church that's going to placate their appetites. That tells them what they want to hear. Teachers having itching ears. And sadly to say, there's too many churches around that are catering to that. The Word of God is rejected for what people want, for what appeals to people. Look at verse 28 again. It says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. I don't want this thought of God in my head. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness. See, he mentioned the homosexuality before this, but now look what he's talking about. The fornication, that's not homosexuality. That's heterosexuality, just outside of the bonds of marriage. Wickedness, covetousness, which is likened to idolatry. maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. And you see the next one? In this whole list of evil, disobedient to parents. You know, the fourth, one of the commandments is honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the earth. Verse 31, without understanding, covenant breakers. The house we bought in Zion there, the couple that lived there before us bought that in, I think it was 1960, sometime in the 60s, it might have been 1960. He said they bought it on a handshake. Try that. Covenant breakers. Without natural affection. Moms killing their babies. Implacable. Unmerciful. That describes our nation today. Given to a reprobate mind. But the thing is, they don't do that because they've got a reprobate mind. The result of doing that leads to being reprobate. And we'll go on to that just a little bit here. A person doesn't start as a reprobate. Those two little ones that just walked out of here for junior church, they're not reprobate. They don't have reprobate minds. Yeah, we've got a sin nature. But that's not reprobate. That's a struggle we all face, saved and lost. But this is the condition that results. At the end of one's life, when the sum total of all that you've done throughout your life, what's there? What's going to remain? That determines whether one is reprobate or not. Is there anything of value, anything of worth that's left? Anything to show for the life that God has gifted to you on this earth? When God adds it all up, which he will do one day, will anything left be left behind? When you stand before God, and we're all going to stand before him, to give an account to him of what we've done in this life. What's there going to be to give an account of? What are you going to have? Anybody going to stand there with you? Say, this person told me about Jesus Christ. And I'm here today because they told me about Jesus Christ. Or a missionary, this person faithfully supported my ministry in India or someplace else and helped me to be there on the field to win these other people to Jesus Christ. See, is there going to be anything of value that you're going to be able to present to God for your life that you've lived upon this earth? Any others whose lives you've touched, helped, encouraged in their relationship and their walk with God to help them to draw nearer. What's going to be left? Look at Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. This idea of reprobate, I think, is well illustrated here in this passage. Jeremiah chapter 6. And verse 28. Of course, Jeremiah prophesied at the time of the leading up to the Babylonian captivity. Daniel had Jeremiah's prophecy that helped him to know that they weren't going to stay in Babylon. They were going to get through that thing. But he writes here in verse 28, and he says, they are all grievous revolters, walking with slanders. They are brass and iron. They are all corruptors. The bellows are burned. The lead is consumed of the fire. The founder melteth in vain. For the wicked are not plucked away. Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. The idea is looking at mining for silver. And you go out and some geologist says, okay, here's a good place. I believe we're going to find a great resource of silver here. Let's go ahead and dig it up. And they get the equipment out there and they start digging it up and this big pile of stuff, and they start hauling it away to the furnace. And they take this huge pile of stuff and they subject it to the fires. And that fire takes that material and begins to burn away all that's of no value. And if the geologist is right, when they're done, there's going to be some silver. Once all the dross has been separated, that which is value, of value, is going to be left. But if they go through that whole process and they burn it all and there's no silver, it's reprobate. Nothing of value. In fact, if you look it up in Webster's 1828 dictionary, it says this, not enduring proof or trial, thus rejected. The fire is a trial. It's proving whether there's anything of value or not. And I believe reprobate is a much broader term than what we usually apply it to in Romans chapter 1. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5. Let's back up a little bit. Verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Kind of a parallel with what the things were mentioned in Romans chapter 1. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. He says the last days are going to be characterized by that. I believe that reflects on our time today. Verse 5, he says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. They've got the appearance. They've got the form of godliness, but it's missing. Look at verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Daniel chapter 12 tells us that there's going to come a time when knowledge is going to be increased. Again, boy, isn't that today? You know, and we got all kinds of stuff going on in space, and you know, Elon Musk is able to send a rocket up and bring it back and parallel park it there in the landing site. I mean, that's amazing. Knowledge is increased, but it doesn't get you any closer to God. Knowledge increased. Not able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. These two guys are mentioned, and it's believed that they were the magicians that stood before Pharaoh opposing Moses. You know, Moses would cast down his rod and it became a serpent. And so Jannes and Jambres cast down their rods and they became serpents. Then Moses' rod ate their rod, their serpents. But they had that appearance, that form. They were teachers. They had a following. They had people that admired them. But he says, let's read on here. So do these resist the truth. He's using these as an example of these other teachers that we've got that had the form of godliness but deny the power thereof. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Nothing to show. When it's all subjected to the furnace and burnt down, there is nothing there. They might have had a great church. They might have had a large following. But there was nothing there. I skipped over verse 6, and I did that on purpose. Verse 9, let's read that. But they will proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. See, it's all going to come to light someday. They may be seeming to be doing well now and doing great, but when it's all exposed, then the truth will be known. Go back up to verse 6. For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust. These teachers are deceivers. And many of them are standing in pulpits today across our country. But they're deceivers. Because they're not preaching the Word of God. They're preaching something else. What the people want to hear, not what they need to hear. Reprobate. Producing something contrary to God's Word. And most of the time, it's for their own benefit. The Joel Osteens of the world. What a charlatan that guy is. And he's not alone, because there's a lot of them. Look at Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, verse 5. And again, Paul's writing here. He wrote to Timothy. Now he's writing to Titus. He says, for this cause left I in Crete, that thou should set in order the things that are wanting. He says, Titus, I had a reason for you leaving there. I want you to get things squared away. The truth exposed. The things, the error exposed. And deal with those things. He says, to set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I appointed thee, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre. This is what he says, those that stand in the pulpit, this is the character they ought to be. This is what they ought to represent. Verse 8, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. This is what I ought to be. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that they may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. You know, in a lot of churches today, sound doctrine is a dirty word. Or dirty phrase, I guess. Oh, doctrine divides. The truth is supposed to divide. Amen. To hold fast that faithful word by sound doctrine to both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. Verse 10, there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. The Jews were causing these folks problems in the first century, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses. So here again, you know, he mentioned those crept into people's houses and leading captive silly women. Kind of the same thing being mentioned here by Paul to Titus. Teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. For their gain. Verse 12, one of themselves, even a prophet, their own said, the Cretans are all these liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. When somebody swerves away, and this applies to me too, if I swerve away from the truth of God's word, I need to be rebuked. I need to stay faithful to this book. Verse 14, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men and turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess, watch this, they profess that they know God. They've got a profession. They have that appearance. But at works, they deny him. When it's all exposed, they say one thing, but at works, they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work. Reprobate. Nothing of lasting value. Nothing that survives refining fire, the reprobate. God wants our doctrine to be correct. But when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, God's not going to give us a Bible quiz. He's going to see if our doctrine had an impact upon the way we lived our life. If not, we're reprobate. There's nothing of value. Now, I look at my own life, and the end of this month will be 43 years since I first started pastoring a church out in Gove, Kansas. 43 years ago, Elizabeth was just a year and a half old when we moved out there. And you can say what you want and think what you want about me. I hope it's good. I hope it's been of value. But in the end, God's going to determine that. And when my life is going to be exposed before God and submitted to the purifying fire, the only thing that's going to count is what survives, what's left. I might think I've got some things, but then there's maybe things that I've done with impure motives, selfish motives, that aren't going to survive the fire. Might have been a good thing, but it was done for the wrong reason. What's going to be left? Will I be reprobate? Our doctrine has to affect our life. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 7. Paul says, remember them which have the rule over you. Well, that would be me. Not that I am above you, but as pastor, I'm the under shepherd. I have a responsibility. He says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Have I lived my life before you in these 24 years that we've been here in such a way that I've proven myself worthy of following as I follow Christ? Hopefully I have. But you need to examine me. Make sure. Before you fall. Look at 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Second Corinthians 13 and verse 1. This is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before, and I tell you as if I were present the second time, and being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned and all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. Watch this. Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me. And he doesn't chide them for doing that. They seek proof, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. So, yes, examine me, but don't overlook your own self. Are you in the faith? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you know for a shadow, without a shadow of doubt, that if you died right now, you'd be with the Lord? Examine yourselves. And Christian, once you've done that, what have you done since? Examine yourselves. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not that your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. See, even as a Christian, we can be a reprobate. If there's nothing of lasting value in our life. Verse 7, now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that we should do that which is honest, that we be as though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. If we are glad when we are weak and ye are strong, this also we wish, even your perfection. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This was the first letter he wrote to the people at Corinth. He says in verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. A bunch of babies. I can't talk to you like an adult because you're not living like an adult. Verse 2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able. And that's far too many Christians are like that. They're not able to bear sound doctrine because they've been spoon-fed all their spiritual life. They're not able to digest any meat. They choke on it. Verse 3, for ye yet carnal. For whereas, and here's, he says, you're carnal, you're babies. And here is the result of that. Whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? You got all this struggling and power struggles and arguing and bitterness and holding persons, men's persons in admiration as he goes on here. Verse 5, who then is, for what, or verse 4, for while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, says, are you not carnal? Well, Paul led me to the Lord. Well, so what? Apollos led me to the Lord. Who cares? It's not about the person. It's about the Savior. Verse 5, who then is Paul? And Paul's writing this letter. And who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And boy, I would bet most of us, if we could really go back and examine our own lives, we'd see that there were a lot of people that planted a seed here and planted a seed here and planted a seed here. But God gave the increase. And to take credit for bringing somebody else to Christ. I mean, God will give us some credit for that, but God's got to be a part of that thing, or it's meaningless. Verse 7, so then neither is he that planteth anything. Yeah, it's not the planter. Neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Yes, right doctrine, but what are you doing on top of that? Read on, verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. We each got different roles in the structure, the church, not the building, the church, the God's building. We got roles. And I'm to take heed what my part is in that and do that properly. That's what he's saying here. Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man build upon this foundation, that's this gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest. For the fire, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Yet he himself shall be saved. Yet as by fire. The sum total of your life. You look back and you got all the stuff you've accumulated. All the stuff you've put your energy into. Your time. Your money. All this stuff. And God's going to take that whole huge pile and dump it in the furnace. Will it be reprobate? Will there be anything for you to show for the life that you've lived on this earth since you've been saved? Will there be anything of value that will endure the fire and be a precious jewel to give to our Savior as payment for the life that he's given us? There's an old poem that says, only when life will soon be past, only what's done for Christ will last. Don't be a reprobate. May your life have something to count for God when you come to the end. Let's stand, please, for prayer.